Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 467. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Fenach. Well, today is May 15th. I need to check again in my brain. And it is the official launch of the Search Generative Experience at Google. What this means, we'll get into a little more, but essentially, AI is now a formal portion of search results now, and not everyone is going to like this. But first, how are you doing there, Scott?
You know, we got a long weekend coming up, so I'm great. We've got an air show in town, totally unrelated to search. There's an air show on Saturday. We haven't had an air show here in a long time, and I'm going to go to Tofino, and it's just going to be a great weekend, so I'm in a good mood.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, before we get into the SGE, I want to mention one thing I actually didn't put down here in our notes. And that is, I've been following a lot of what Bill Hartzer has been saying lately. He's a colleague of mine, of ours in the industry. And he was formerly into SEO for the longest time. Now he's in domains and helping people with their domain issues and et cetera. And he even functions as a witness in many cases as well in the SEO industry. He had mentioned recently that it is extremely important for no one to trust the auto renew on your domains. So if you have a very important domain, you say your flagship website, like in our case, stepforth.com, make sure you renew a long way in advance and keep that going. I mean, maybe set an alert after you've done it 5 or 10 years, send an alert 5 years from now to go back and renew it again for another 10 years or something. Just make it go nuts. Get it as long as you can afford to do it right now within reason, of course. That way, you know, you're set. It's not going to be removed. You're not going to accidentally, you know, your credit card may not be on file. The auto renew may not work, which has happened. They just brush their hands off. The domains don't care. These registrars don't care enough to save you on this stuff. And sometimes their emails that tell you need to update your credit card are going to spam. You don't even know about it and you lose your domain. That is fundamentally devastating to anyone with any business from the web who has done SEO for many years, who's built a great brand. It's just so many levels of pain that could be involved with losing your domain. So if you have it, renewing only once every year, you're doing it at that bare minimum of once a year, go and change that. Do yourself a favor. Book it, like renew it for 5 years or 10 years. Okay. And the other good thing too is you can actually save money because you're renewing it now. Prices keep going up on domains. In fact, there's this new thing which is annoying as hell, and I think it's unfair, where the leading registrar of registrars can decide that you own a premium domain name and you may have bought it for maybe renew it for $12 a month. Normally it's gone up to $300 now because it's considered premium. You have no control.
Really? I didn't know that.
I saw an instance of that online. I just blew my mind. So that's another good reason to renew it a long way into the future. So be very careful. I just cannot imagine how devastating that would be to lose the domain.
Jeez. Premium. That's why I only register really stupid domain names that nobody will ever want.
Yes, there you go. And they get tons of traffic, right?
Yeah. No, but I'm not going to lose the domain, so we're good.
There we go. All right, so next up here, let's jump into the SEO news. The Google March 2024 core update is finally complete. Well, that didn't take very long. So, Scott, you jumped into this. Let's fill everyone in.
Yeah, I was tempted to remove this now because you're probably listening. Like, we're in May now. Why are you talking about a March core update? Well, a couple of reasons I left this in here. First, it took 45 days to complete. Started in the beginning of March, finished at the very end of April. I don't know if we've seen that core updates take that long to roll out. I feel like this is one for the record books, or it's up there anyways. So that's noteworthy. And it's really only finished a couple of weeks ago. But the other thing is the reason for this core update. Usually they have core updates and it's like your site stops ranking. What do? You just work on making it better. Like there aren't a lot of good responses for recovering from a core update. But this one might be different because this one was focused on unhelpful content and removing unhelpful and low quality content. Google noted a 45% reduction in low quality and unhelpful content. So what that tells me is if you were hit by this, our general response of fix your content is actually the exact right thing to do. You're going to want to fix your content because it's directly related to this specific core update. So definitely, if you were hurt by this update, you should see it by now. You should have noticed your traffic going down within the last few weeks and work on making your content better. General blanket statement, I know, but in this case, it is actually the right response for this core update.
Unreal. And I heard the other day that there's another, I'm not sure if it's a substantiated update, but Barry Schwartz has been noting another upturn of massive changes in rankings and turmoil. So don't expect things to calm down ever, it seems.
They never will.
No.
You roll in, the core update finishes, and then the next day another one seems to start. It's one after another.
Anyway, they just love keeping us all busy. One of our lovely listeners was in touch with me the other day, and we were talking about her website and how, you know, it's an affiliate site, but really that's the tertiary. It's not the reason she's doing it. She's focused on helping, in this case, dogs, people, dog owners, to be better dog owners and look after their dogs and all the different things she's learned over time. It's a really helpful site. But because it's helpful, Google seems to have taken objection to it and her rankings have plummeted. Now, the reason to bring it up is in her case, we talked about schema. I noticed that she didn't have really a lot of schema connecting her author account. Oh, excuse me. So her she does a lot of writing. Obviously, throughout the site, it's mostly great blog posts and their ultimate content. It's really quite impressive. But in her case, you know, she didn't link to an about page. She linked it to her homepage, which is not bad at all, as long as it's got the information that needs to be there, which in this case is the person markup in schema. And when I pointed it out to her, she hadn't seen it before or really dug into it. Now, she's been a listener for a while, and I think this is probably the norm. A lot of you guys are hearing a lot of words that we just spew out, just not even realizing that we're not being clear. And it's fair that you probably don't have the time or interest to dig into this, but I do suggest you dig in a little bit into this. Just find out what the schema person markup is. The schema is S-C-H-E-M-A. And make sure that you have a page that is about you, that talks about your expertise, you know, your education, anything like that. There's a whole number of different things you can put in there. And there's examples online. Really, we should have a page on our site that talks about that. We're our own worst enemies for content. But anyway, and then make sure that any one of your blog posts or anywhere else you post on other websites, as the author link, that link should send searchers and Google back to that about page. That way you're always connecting the dots to that page, which is your bio, the proof of your expertise and authoritativeness. That is going to really help out in proving that what you're writing is worth being in search results. Otherwise, you might fall into this trap where Google simply thinks that you aren't worthy of showing up. I don't know if this is going to be the fix for her. I hope it is. But it's certainly an improvement over what was existing on the site. So do keep that in mind. Okay. Now, Google begins enforcement of site reputation abuse policy with portions of sites being delisted. Wow. Okay. Fill me in.
Fill you in. Okay. So this was at the end of April, and a bunch of big websites got hit hard. CNN, USA Today, LA Times. Those are three of the examples. I think Forbes or Fortune may have also been on the list. Lots of big sites. And they got hit for reputation abuse. At the end of April, Google noted that their search spam policies about reputation abuse would take effect May 5th, and they took effect May 6th. Not bad. They're off by a day. And what this affects are things like rented subdomains and subfolders, and those are dropping in rankings. So a good example is these particular sites that I listed, CNN and so on, they have, in that instance, coupon subdomains for other websites. And so they end up with all these coupon directories, and all of those got pulled from Google. And their main site, their main content was fine. So this wasn't like a full blanket punishment for the whole site, but it was just a delisting of the offending content. Google informed Search Engine Land that these are manual actions and not algorithmic ones. So there's somebody out there specifically pinpointing who's to blame here and affecting, you know, their ranking. So this will most likely also be algorithmic in the future. So if you are renting space on your site for other websites' content to help them essentially piggyback your rankings, if you're a strong ranking website and you say to these other guys who aren't doing very well, you know, I'll rent you a subdomain, you can put your content there, until now that could help your rankings, help you to increase your exposure. So that's essentially, you know, what reputation abuse is. Google actually defines it as third-party content produced primarily for ranking purposes and without close oversight of a website owner and intended to manipulate search engines. So not all third-party content is spam. You know, sometimes native advertising, or what you'd call an advertorial, is a totally legit way for them to do this, but this is a bit different than that. So if you're involved in that sort of thing, you might get hit one day, especially when this becomes algorithmic. If you're not one of the big guys like CNN, you'll get away with it for a while. But, you know, be careful.
I guess that's... Yes, I do remember this now. That was a little while ago. Yes. Feels like a little while ago. It was May 5th, but
it seems ages ago now. Yeah. A lifetime ago with AI.
Yeah, it was quite the fuss that was made. And fair enough. These companies are doing whatever they can to make money these days. I'm glad they're getting a little smackdown once in a while. It happens too rarely, in my opinion. All right. So one of the updates to Google's search is a web filter. And this web filter is totally optional and allows you to reduce Google to 1997. 1997 Google, which is all text.
So it's a time machine.
Yeah, essentially. It is really, in many ways, that it's for people who just wants to see textual website results, which really was what we saw in 1997. The filter can be found in the More dropdown when you're on the Google site, and it will be rolled out globally by tomorrow, which is May 16th. So who's going to be using it? I guess, I think like you mentioned earlier, people with low bandwidth, anyone who wants a really clean, fast result. Although I think Google already provided that if they had low bandwidth using their own systems. But this is more of an optional method for anyone who just wants this by itself. And fair enough. We'll see how long that lasts. I bet it'll be removed at some point in the next 3 years because they're not getting enough use. I don't know. It doesn't seem like something.
I can think of an example, actually. I can't remember what I was searching for. This was just last week. And I searched for something, and all Google was showing me were video results. And that's great if you want a video result. But for whatever purpose, I didn't want a video. I wanted, you know, text-based. I didn't have time to watch a video. So if this had existed last week, it would have been a perfect example of when I would have wanted to use it, where I was specifically looking for, you know, sometimes you only want video, so you click video. You only want images, you click images. Well, sometimes you don't want those things. So I think it's going to be, nobody's likely to use it, you know, exclusively, but I think there are going to be purposes and use cases where it comes in handy for sure.
Yeah, cool. All right. What is this all about? There's a study that was done. 56% of Google's top three positions are held by country level, top level domains. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So this was done by GA Agency. Sorry, I'd never heard of you before, but it was posted over at Search Engine Land. And they did a study about this, and they found, they looked at 1.7 million SERP positions across 20,000 keywords in 15 different markets. And first, I'll just explain real quick. A CCTLD stands for country code top level domain. So that would be things like a .ca, a .jp, .co.uk, any top level domain that is country specific versus, say, a GTLD or a generic top level domain, which would be your .com, your .gov, .edu, .net, thousands of examples now, but you get the idea. And what they found was that 56% of the top three positions were held by country code top-level domains. They found 20% of the top three positions were held by subdirectories and 3% by subdomains. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is it kind of reinforces if you are, well, let's say you're a Canadian business focused on Canada, there is value in having that .ca. If you're focused only in the UK or Australia, you don't have that .com.au or .co.uk. There is value. It will help you rank in the top three. Now, it's not mandatory by any means. You can still rank there, but it gives you maybe a little bit of an edge. At least this study sort of suggests that. And it makes sense. You know, it's just an extra signal to tell Google that, hey, we're part of this specific country. And the same thing kind of goes for if you have multiple sites and you're serving the US and the UK and Canada, having all three and having your content at all three with appropriate hreflang tags can be really helpful as well. So it's important. If you can use it, it makes sense. Use your country code domain, but please don't change domains because I said this. If you're starting from scratch, go for it. Don't change your .com to a .ca because you're in Canada, because bad things are going to happen and you'll probably stop listening to us, at least me.
Yeah.
So,
or like one of our current clients is in this position. They're launching a business in, or like a new wing of their business in this country. You know, do they go for a .ca? Well, we had to weigh the options. It's a benefit, but is it worth the benefit of having a completely new domain? That is more work. So there's many levels of thinking to whether or not you go ahead with it or not, or just have a subdirectory. And that's where I think we're going to lean, at least initially. It's an interesting, very nerdy discussion from an SEO perspective, but it is cool to see that there is some real advantage that it can be proven. That's great. Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into some local SEO and then finally AI in search.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Senior SEO, Scott Fanak. All right, so it's been a while since we've added a local SEO section here, mainly because there's been so much other stuff going on, and you had the SEO learning series. Anyways, I was looking on the local search forums and found this thing. It's inexplicable to me. It's an insane new spamming tactic that people are using to nullify their competitors in Google Maps. Now, this is from Joy Hawkins. Says, people are noticing that several businesses with completely different addresses are all now showing up pinned at the same location. So to try and put this in, if that didn't clear up immediately what's happening, you could be located an entirely different part of town from another business. And someone could take your pin, which is where you're supposed to be located, put you and that other person in an entirely different place along with other businesses of the same type and overlap them all, saying that essentially to Google, these people are all in the same building, which is crazy because Google can also see that they have different addresses. Anyway, this is obviously an exploit because what's happening is when Google, and this is the norm, if Google sees that you have, if there's a number of businesses that are of the same type in one building, they're only going to show one in search results unless you zoom right in on the map. Essentially, they have to choose one. And this is the norm. If you find you're not doing well in rankings, this is aside, but if you find you aren't doing well in rankings and you're in the same business building as another, as a competitor, and they're doing really well and you're not, that's why. And that's why it's very important when you pick your building, you pick it carefully. You can never be sure. Someone might move in, but just the same, don't set yourself up for failure. Anyway, by this person or this bad actor moving all these pins into one location, essentially only one competitor is going to end up being the victor. And they wouldn't do it to their own spot because then they may not be the victor, but they're putting everyone in this one spot and eliminating their competition. It's brilliant genius. It's total evil, but it's incredible. Currently, there's no preventative method for this tactic. Someone chimed in saying that they've had this happen multiple times and they just keep having to move the pin back. Google just drives me crazy how badly managed Google Business is. This should be fixed immediately. Joy has notified Google with examples, so let's just hope they fix it. Just don't hold your breath because they don't exactly have a good track record.
I was going to say, it's so infuriating because it's insanely easy to prevent this kind of issue. Like, don't let people suggest an edit and drag your pin around. Like, why is that even a thing? Like, I get that Google wants, the community to be able to correct incorrect listings, but there needs to be a better verification process when that happens. Like, whether that's a notification to the site owner and nothing gets done unless they interact, or some sort of human oversight. I don't know. It has to be different than the way it is.
It's terrible. People can change phone numbers. They can change where you're located. They can, all I need to do is have a relatively decent Google local profile. What do they call them? Local Google experts. I can't recall. It's been so long since I've done any of that myself. I got tired of adding reviews and trying to build up my reputation there. But you just have to have a decent reputation, and you can do that. You can manipulate it. And we've had people change our phone number. We've had two people change client phone numbers, and they've definitely lost business that way. It's frightening. And it's still very prevalent. I've seen numerous examples of business claiming locations in what are clearly Workshare business addresses with mail service. So what you can do, because hey, Google's dumb enough to keep doing this, because it has been obvious for a decade that this is a hole. You can just buy mail service at a local Workshare downtown, and they'll give you that benefit of having that location. It's just ridiculous. It's obviously, I have words for this. It's just they lack the
You would think with this pin moving, I don't know what you'd want to call it, spam, I'll just say, it would be pretty easy to figure out who the person doing it is, because you got 20 pizza places in one building and one guy that's across town. Hey, is he the one doing it? But then I started thinking, well, maybe not. Maybe you want to stick it to that guy. So you move everything but one, and then the flags point to, well, hey, Bob's Pizza over there must be the one that's doing it, because he's not the one affected by this, but Bob's the innocent guy. And now Bob gets banned. And then everything else gets fixed long term. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Google won't ban anyone except for the person who made the change. They might reduce or completely eliminate their account, or who knows what, because that's trackable.
Yeah, it's true.
But these people probably have burner accounts and they make a fortune doing this if they could get paid for it. And they can.
For sure they can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big bucks, and I'm sure, too.
The other thing is local landing pages are still working like it's 1997. I'm in awe. Like, I can't believe how backwards they are. And they really, truly, they make it hard to play fair. We have clients who are just so frustrated because one of them we were talking with today, he says, look, why is this guy all of a sudden doing better than me? And they came out of the blue. And we looked at what they're doing. Well, they're doing local landing pages, which again, should not work like they do. We do it occasionally because we have to. We have to compete. And Google doesn't want us to break their precious guidelines, but they're kind of leaving the door open, and yep. everyone else is doing it. So what are we going to do? We have to match. It's frustrating beyond comprehension. And with that, let's jump into AI, because holy smokes, this is going to have to be our first topic coming up soon. It's getting so overwhelming. All right. So with Search Generative Experience out as of today, they are essentially what this is called is AI Overviews, and it has been launched in the U.S. with more countries coming soon. So we're basing everything we can off all of the information we're about to show you based on articles that are already discussing this. So what are AI Overviews, Scott?
Yeah, so essentially, it's a lot like featured snippets, except it's powered by AI, if you want to think of it that way. So you ask a question. One example that they used, and I think it was at Search Engine Roundtable, that might have been Search Engine Land, was a search for how do you clean a fabric sofa? And then the AI, Google Gemini, spits out the answers to that. And then below the answers, or whatever their responses might be, three or four paragraphs, what have you, they list a bunch of link cards with links to places where it sourced that data from, which is actually pretty cool. And that's in a nutshell what it is. It's an easier access to an answer to a question. They tend to show that content when the AI overview can provide more information than what would otherwise be shown in search results. So if you have a search term that you're using and there's a lot of information that Google can put there anyways, you're less likely to see it. If it's something more specific, that's when it's showing up. It is just rolling out right now. They expect it to be finished rolling out next week. So it's, of course the phone rings, just mute that. Old school phone. I'm old school, I guess.
Couldn't hear a thing. Good old directional microphones. Yay.
You couldn't. Oh, that's cool. No, I'm totally screwed up. Why do people call it the worst time? Yeah. So that's powered by Google Gemini, a lot like featured snippets. And it should be available in most places by the end of this year. So you want to know, when do you see the overviews appearing? So like I said, that's usually if you have something very specific that you're searching for. But one thing that Google noted as well is that if you are listed in those link cards below the overview, they're finding higher click-through rates than regular search results, which is super cool. So, you know, I always kind of thought being part of this, having AI pull your information in for these snippets would be potentially bad, but because they're sourcing where it's coming from and those appear to be getting higher click-through rates, this might actually be gold if you're chosen as part of that snippet. I mean, time will tell. It's brand new. We don't really know. Currently, there is no way to see if your clicks are being generated through there. There's a lot of push to have it show up in Google Search Console, and it should, and I think it will, but we saw the same thing happen with featured snippets, and there's no way, there never was a way to extract that data in Search Console. And Google just, they have the data. They could give you that information, but they just choose not to. So hopefully they do in this case. There was also a lot of speculation that because of this, featured snippets were going to go away and basically be replaced by the AI overviews. This does not sound like this will happen. And Google has also told Search Engine Land that they will continue to appear in results. Whether or not we'll see both at the same time, I doubt it. That seems like a lot of information. I don't know why they would do that, but they'll probably replace it with the AI where the results are better, is what I would think. And there's definitely an example of where AI overviews get it wrong. So one example was they told people, hey, you got, kidney stones? Yeah, you should just drink your urine. That will help. Don't do that. So Google actually removed that one within 24 hours. So that was good. So, you know,
a lot of unhappy people, though.
There's at least one guy out there who's like, man, I drank my pee for nothing. For sure, somebody did that. There has to be someone.
Or maybe it did pass his kidney stone.
And maybe it worked. You know, I guess you don't know if you don't try it, right? So go for it. Drink your pee. Let us know how that goes.
Oh, dear.
But don't. Anyways, it just goes to show that with anything AI, you know, grain of salt, do your own research, verify. It's the same thing when we're talking about creating content using AI. Go through it all. It's going to get better, but it's not 100%. If you do see one of these AI overviews and you know it's you know, harmful or just inaccurate there, you know, you can click the ellipsis, the three dots at the, I think it's in the top right corner, and you can report it. So please do that, especially if you see something like this. And if you're a business owner and you don't want to be part of it, well, you should be. But, you know, if you're just dead against it, you can opt out. However, opting out is the same as blocking your site from Google with your robots.txt, robots meta, or by some other means. So, and clearly nobody wants to do that. So if you really don't want to be in there, well, you're stuck with it for now, or you're not appearing in Google at all. So,
man, it's, I keep feeling like Google's just trying to appease us, kind of like a frog in boiling, frog in a nice pot of warm water or being slowly boiled. Because, you know, the fact that they're giving sources, they're like, oh, and people get traffic from this. So, hey, they're not such bad people, these Google guys. Well, that doesn't have to last. Yeah. And when they start providing voice results more often than not, and we've seen some tech actually to solve something today on that, that provides a completely audio experience using headphones for search, they're going to pick one. They're not going to give you any options, and they're not going to show sources. There may be an option always if they want to be above the board, and I pray they do, where they, you can click something and maybe an accordion or something, and it'll show the results or sources for the results. But, you know, we were talking earlier, Scott and I, about the future of this stuff, and I won't get into all of it, but questions that are just so simple that people have been milking for years to get traffic and affiliate income, that who knows why, but this would work. But why is the ocean blue, or why is it sometimes turquoise, or why is it green, or all these different things, very common questions that essentially you can get out of an encyclopedia, which again, different websites could show up for, and maybe we're competing for, because they had something that could turn the water purple. I don't know what it would be, some sort of affiliate thing.
That's for when you pee in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, those are just, there's no reason they're going to show sources for that. It's just not going to happen anymore. There is going to be some fallout from just this initial run even. There's no reason these guys, any website that has this kind of generic, boring information that's really the only need one answer for, there's no reason they're going to get continued traffic for that anymore. So this is just the beginning. We're going to be slowly but surely comforted through a complete change in how search works. I guarantee it. I cannot see any way around it. And it's within Google's best interest to make it slow and comfortable, because they want to keep all that business traffic. And someone actually, what was it? Rob, darn it, his name's escaping me right now. One of my colleagues was mentioning that he feels that Google will essentially become a massive, well, get a huge intake of income by being an affiliate after shutting down all the other affiliates. An interesting thought in a way, right? They could make billions. Yep. Just from helping sell people's products. But they have to, of course, without getting into antitrust, they have to do that transparently and not biased, in a biased way. But just the same, if there's one product that does a great job of, or seems to show up a lot for a particular service, I don't know, hair removal, whatever it might be, it could be the one that is showing up, and Google might as well get the click through affiliate income for that. I don't know. There's so many different things that could happen, and Google has so many ways of making money with all these new changes, that it's a bit mind numbing, a little scary for websites, but I do see some interesting possibilities coming down that I'm absolutely inhaling. AI content, AI news, TEDx talks, articles from brilliant people on this topic. I want to be sure that my clients and our, my business is on the cutting edge of this, or at least in a good place to make everyone happy. Us, because we want to keep our jobs, and our clients happy because they got a good service. Anywho, more on this in other shows. With that said, Thank you very much for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. And if you have any questions, and Scott wants more questions.
Lots. Give me lots.
Yeah. If you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook. And as final note here, if you haven't already stopped listening, hopefully you haven't, because this is a bonus. I mentioned that one of our listeners had contacted me the other day, and it was one of my free strategy calls. I gave her some great advice, and it was fun. And we haven't engaged any business yet, but I'm making a friend. I was able to help her. I learned something new too. Take me up on it. I love having free strategy calls. Sometimes I can help you right away. Sometimes it might lead to consulting. Maybe it leads into doing more work for you. Whatever it is, you're going to win. I promise. We're just good at what we do and we enjoy it and we're good guys. So hopefully we get a chance to meet you and have a chat, and let's talk soon. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.